You can watch Believe Land tonight on ESPN2. It's this week's family movie presented by Target. For 52 years, Cleveland was the city of sports misery. Then LeBron James changed all of that, bringing the land a crown in 2016. It's tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. All right, one of the great things to watch last night, again, in a draft unlike any other, were the different home setups that everybody had. So let me bring my crew along here, and let's just try and gauge a little bit of what we saw last night. First off, Mike Vrabel's setup. Swagoo, what?
That's the same damn thing I was asking, G. What? What is that? Who is the two dudes in the back, and what the hell is their job to just stand there and look dumb? Because that's what they were doing. Mike Vrabel is a goat for this. The fact that you are a head coach in the NFL and you got Beavis and Butthead standing behind you, that is amazing. I love everything about it.
By the way, we very discreetly cut out the best part of his home setup, and I, for one, appreciate that we did. All right, Ryan Clark, this is Cliff Kingsbury. What does it look like he does for a living?
Hey, it looks like he's a real-life G. That's what it looks like. Cliff Kingsbury, like, look, man, I'm handsome. I got this job after I got fired, and I was supposed to be the offense coordinator in college. I'm living probably out there in Scottsdale. You're going to see this glass. You're going to see this grass. You're going to see this open floor, because this is how I chill. That was basically his thirst trap. So for all the women out there who were watching, who said they want a man like Cliff Kingsbury, he said, here is the thirst trap for y'all. That's the 2020 virtual draft thirst trap.
But wait a minute. The flex of the night, Rex, belonged to Jerry Jones, who conducted the draft from his $250 million yacht.
Yeah, that's hard to beat, man. Forget all that. He's got more money. Money talks, and you know what else walks. So to me, Jerry Jones, you got it.
It was a fun night. You know what it really was? It was a draft unlike anything that we've ever seen before for a lot of obvious reasons. But we were proud to bring it to you here on ESPN, and we are privileged to come here this morning and bring you all of the analysis that we can. Again, if you are one of the medical providers, the medical professionals, the first responders, and all the heroes, thank you for everything you are doing. Our job is to entertain you for the next hour, talking about what happened last night. Round one of the 2020 NFL draft began exactly the way we expected it to, with Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati with the first pick overall. He's the second player in the common draft era to win the Heisman, the national championship, and go number one in the same year. Cam Newton was the other. Then Tua Tagovailoa, the subject of all of the buildup, winds up going 5 to the Dolphins. They don't have to trade up to get him, and so they wind up getting their man. The risk, reward, we'll see what happens with Tua there, and we'll see when he's ready to start playing. The very next pick, the L.A. Chargers taking Justin Herbert with the hopes that ultimately he is Phillip Rivers' long-term replacement. He has aced every test since the season ended, especially at the Senior Bowl. And then, oh my goodness! And towards the end of the first round, the Packers trade back in and they take Jordan Love, the quarterback, number 26 overall. He's Aaron Rodgers' heir apparent. Here's the GM.
Yeah, you know what? I haven't connected with Aaron yet, but you know he's obviously been through this, and you know he's a pro, and I think it's you know, it's certainly, this is something that is a long-term decision. I think when you go through kind of the way things went tonight, you kind of, you ran the short term and the long term, and we got the best quarterback in the National Football League, and we plan to have him for a while, competing for championships. So I can understand, you know, the fan base and people thinking kind of, why would you do this at this time? But I just think the value of our board and the way it's at, it was the best thing for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, we're really excited to get Jordan here and get him into our system.
Our NFL insider Dan Graziano is up early with us this morning. Dan, why'd they do this?
Well, Greeny, this is kind of how the Packers operate. And you heard Brian Gutekunst refer to how Aaron Rodgers came in the league when Brett Favre was entrenched as the starter there. And they just felt Rodgers was too good a player to pass up at that point in the 2005 draft. So this is similar to that. He said on that conference call at 1 o'clock this morning that, you know, this isn't something we set out to do, draft a quarterback this year. It just so happened that a guy we like fell to us. Now, he didn't. They traded up 4 spots to get him, which makes this a little more interesting. But what Gutekunst was explaining was this is a player that they really, really liked, and they felt like at this point in the round, there was no one else on their board that they felt like was going to be enough of a difference maker to warrant the pick. He said if there was a difference maker at another position, we really would have considered it, but we didn't think there was, and you can get into trouble if you think you're one player away. So The Packers look long-term all the time. They look at the idea of developing quarterbacks. They think it's very important to always have a quarterback in the pipeline. They felt like this was a guy whose skill set they really, really liked. He's a young player, not yet 22, can sit and develop for a year or two, whatever it takes, like Rodgers did. And this is what they felt was best for the long-term interest of the franchise.
I understand it. Now, the flip side argument on this is a team that has had first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacking for 30 years and won two championships along the way. What does this mean now for Aaron Rodgers and his future?
Well, whatever they want to say about, they want to have him there for a long time. This does kind of start the clock, right? I mean, he's going to be 37 in December. He's not going to play forever. There's no guaranteed money left on his contract after this year. So it gives them the opportunity to move on to his replacement at some point in the next couple of years. That doesn't require them to do it if Rodgers continues to play and if Love doesn't develop, but it certainly gives them the opportunity to do that at some point in the next couple of years.
Yes. All right, Dan Graziano, great work here. We will check in with you again and obviously be watching you tonight. Now let me bring in Santa Claus on the morning after Christmas, although he's still in the middle of it all, of course, the one, the only Mel Kiper. This, of course, was the story of the night. What Green Bay did, what did you think of it?
You know, Green, it wasn't a shocker. You had heard maybe Daniel Jeremiah had brought it up, maybe Green Bay. But I think when you look at it, the wide receiver depth, they pick in the late second round. Will a guy like Denzel Mims Baylor, will Michael Pittman Jr., USC, slide down that far? Van Jefferson, Florida, tight end like Adam Troutman, Dayton, is be very interesting late second round. So I think the fact that they can maybe get a Harrison Bryant, Florida Atlantic tight end, somebody like that at tight end or receiver, late second, allowed them to think, hey, let's go get the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. What I'm interested to see, Greeny, is Aaron Rodgers get an attitude. I'm paying to him 43, 45. Heck with this. And does all of a sudden Jordan Love become Jimmy Garoppolo, where Brady was there and played behind that, and they had to trade Garoppolo. So it's going to be interesting to see. Aaron's a highly competitive player. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. And I'm sure he's going to say, hey, you got to wait a long time before you're getting my job.
I'm sure that's the attitude that he will take, and we're going to talk to some of the guys about that in a minute. But let's just quickly talk about Jordan Love, because this is a guy who there were evaluations of him, Mel, and you and I have talked about it. People were saying he doesn't belong in the first round. He's a day two or day three pick, and others, of course, loved him, including the Packers. What do you think he becomes there?
Talented kid. I think this year it was just, you can't excuse away this year. He lost his offensive coordinator, which was a key, and his head coach, and all those players around him. You can't expect a Utah State quarterback to be in a position where they can just reload there. It doesn't happen. And losing, like I say, the coordinator and the head coach was huge. Matt Wells took his offense coordinator with him to Texas Tech. When they were together 2 years ago, this kid was talking about lights out throwing the ball and decision-making, all the things we questioned this year, he was doing 2 years ago when he had some help and he had the coach and the coordinator intact, Greeny. So I don't have a problem at all with this pick. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers needs weapons. It cannot be all about Devontae Adams, which it is right now. They know that. The wide receiver position, we've been screaming about this for like 4 months, Greeny. There's depth into the fourth, fifth round, right? So I think Green Bay knows that. They're not going to panic and say, we didn't get a receiver or tight end in the first. There's a lot more picks to be made, and they're going to get a receiver and a tight end for Aaron Rodgers and yet have maybe the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
That's a really important point. I think, again, sometimes because we have separated round one into its own night, we sometimes feel as though, okay, everything has been done now. Well, there's the most important part of it is still coming.
Right.
Mel, stay
right
close by because we're going to come back to you in just a few minutes for some assessment on the other stuff. But I want to bring in my crew here. Dan, this is the thought that keeps going through my mind as I consider what they've done here. There is probably no team in the history of the NFL, I'll have to go back and look at it, that has had consecutive seasons of Hall of Fame quarterback play as long as this. Favre became their starter, I want to say, in 92 or 93. It's basically 30 years they've had a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. They've won two championships. So in my mind, if I'm a fan, I'm thinking to myself, go out and get Aaron Rodgers the help he needs and let's win one more before he's too old to do it. Dan, what do you think of what they did last night?
Yeah, Greeny, I still think it was the right thought process. Now, did they choose the future over the present in round one? Absolutely. And did they signal the beginning of the end for Aaron Rodgers' time in Green Bay? Absolutely. But when you look at what Jordan Love can do as a player, it's rare. You don't find a lot of the traits that he has. And so if you're going, all right, if Aaron Rodgers is done playing really high-level football in the next 2 or 3 years, what is our option? What this does is allow the Packers at the quarterback spot to not panic. Oftentimes we see teams in the NFL that don't have plans in place at the quarterback spot, panic and they have to reach for a quarterback, and then all of a sudden it's 20 years of terrible quarterback play because they're trying to reach and they're forcing young guys on the field. I mentioned this earlier, Greeny. Imagine the Packers sit there and take Jordan Love, and then the 62nd pick in the second round, maybe they get Denzel Mims or T. Higgins or LaVisca Chenault, some of these receivers that we've lauded throughout this offseason. And then you sit back and you go, wait, not only did the Packers kind of set themselves up for the next 15 years, but they also got better for 2020. That's the reality. Both things can be true. Both things can be true, that they planned for the future, but they can still get better right now with the second, with their second round pick. And so I think that to jump on this pick and say it's a bad pick, we don't know what Jordan Love is going to become, but I can appreciate the Packers having a plan for their future.
Marcus, earlier this morning, Dominic Foxworth pointed out that from the moment the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre's play fell off significantly, and he looked at it as sort of a psychological factor. Do you expect that? How do you expect Rodgers to react to this?
I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to fall off. I think Aaron Rodgers is talented enough to, because I've been hearing that he's been an average quarterback that just went to the NFC Championship last year. So if an average quarterback can get me there, I'm cool with that. Here's the thing for me, G. When you think about the psychological part, we've already talked about Aaron Rodgers. I have personally talked about him being like a Scrooge sometimes with teammates, coaches, and all of that. This is not going to sit well. Let's not fool ourselves now. Like the draft, no one is saying that the draft pick, the Jordan Love, is not a good pick. If you could get a potential starter at quarterback at the 26th pick that doesn't have to play right away, when we talked about his skill and his talent need to be developed a little bit more, that's a great pick for the Green Bay Packers. Now, with that being said, we know what's in the building. We know Aaron Rodgers is in the building. We know how Aaron Rodgers is going to look at this. You played the clip with him on the radio talking about, whoever come in here, I'm going to beat him. I have confidence in myself. He has to say that he has confidence in himself to make it seem a little less harsh. Aaron Rodgers saying, ain't nobody coming in here threatening me for my job. And if you do draft somebody with the perception that they threaten me for my job, it ain't going to be pretty. I expect him to play with his hair on fire. With that being said, he ain't happy about this pick.
Yeah, I would imagine not. So, RC, this thought just jumped into my head. There are 51 other guys who will be on that team this year. What dynamic does that create for everyone on the football team if Rodgers is noticeably salty about this, which it certainly feels like it might happen? How do you think it impacts the rest of the guys on the team?
You know what's crazy is I don't think he's going to be noticeably salty about this. I think he'll be kind to Jordan Love because he didn't come into the greatest situation with Brett Favre. And when you have those type of things, they change you and make you behave in a different way. But he's going to remember that Matt LaFleur made the pick. He's going to remember that Brian Gutekunst made the pick. And so I don't think that he'll ever get over those things, because we see that he holds grudge from the fact that he was drafted in the 20s and not number one overall. Aaron Rodgers is going to play extremely well this year. I think he'll behave in a way that shows leadership in the locker room where the other 51 guys will follow. I don't necessarily believe that he lacks the self-awareness to know how people think he will behave in this situation, and he understands the competitive edge to not. I think Aaron Rodgers will be fine, but I believe this will be one of the best years he's had in recent history.
I hear you. I'm not suggesting he's going to make life difficult necessarily for Love, but I mean, you go all the way back to when the Denver Broncos drafted John Elway's heir apparent in Tommy Maddox. John Elway never got over it. Dan Reeves wasn't the coach much longer. Elway stayed there an awful long time. Quarterbacks don't like it when you bring in their replacements. As we continue here on Get Up this morning, jam-packed, the Dolphins got Tua. They didn't have to move up to get him. Were they the biggest winner of day one? Mel Kiper answers that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today. Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
It was a great moment last night. The NFL prospects couldn't walk the red carpet, but offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs wanted his mother to get to walk one, so he brought the red carpet to Iowa. His mom got to walk the red carpet in front of the family home. Wirfs was waiting at the end with a bouquet of flowers. Another reminder that last night was about making the dreams of 32 men who've worked awfully hard for them come true. And that was a great moment. And his night ended by being drafted by Tampa. So that actually worked out really well. Here's Mel Kiper, who had a big night as well. Mel, let's run through some of the picks last night that had you scratching your head a little bit.
You know, Arizona took Isaiah Simmons. I love Isaiah Simmons. But the offensive tackle spot with Jedrick Wills from Alabama, that offensive line struggled. You think about Kyler Murray. He's mobile, right? He was a sack one of every four dropbacks. He was a league-leading 48-time sack, and he's a mobile, athletic quarterback. Had a really good rookie year. Completion percentage, excellent. Touchdown interception ratio, excellent. They have no second-round pick. I'm just worried. Kyler Murray's been hit a lot. A.J. Terrell, cornerback Clemson, goes at 16 to Atlanta. I had a second-round grade on A.J. Terrell. The next pick, Dallas takes CeeDee Lamb. I'd have taken CeeDee Lamb. I had him at 12 on the board. Or if I want a corner, I'm trading down like Miami and Minnesota did. Thomas Dimitroff and his staff obviously had a higher grade on A.J. Terrell. He fills a need, but I would have gone like Dallas did for the third receiver. You mentioned Julio Jones with Calvin Ridley and then CeeDee Lamb. But Dallas did do it, Greeny, and I think that's the thing. They did look at CeeDee Lamb, and again, these receivers got pushed down a little bit. CeeDee Lamb in Dallas will be the third option with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup, and yards after catch for him is amazing. That stiff arm, that fierce running style. He's going to bring a great attitude and a great approach because, you know, Amari Cooper's a little laid back. CeeDee Lamb wants the ball, and he's a ferocious kid with the ball in his hands. Love that pick for Dallas. I didn't, I'm actually going there in Mock 3.0. So Dallas, you think, okay, did a good job. Miami did not allow history to repeat itself. Thought it might. You got a left-handed Drew Brees and Tua. They passed on Brees, but they took Tua. Now you got to build around him. Austin Jackson, they drafted out of USC. He's a developmental left tackle. Greeny needs some work. Tua, obviously, has got to change his mode of operation a bit. Learn to protect that body in the pocket. Durability is a concern, but the only reason he was there at five, and I've been saying this for months, is because of the injury. Had it not been for that, they would have had to give up draft capital to get him. They didn't have to because of the injury. He falls in their lap at number five.
So again, those first two were the moves that had you scratching your head, Simmons and Terrell, and then the last two were the ones you really liked, which was CeeDee Lamb going to Dallas. We're going to talk about him later, but let's talk about Tua, because so much of the buildup to last night was about that. The Dolphins wind up sitting right where they are. They don't have to give up any of all that. You showed it last night time and time again. They have all these picks in the next couple of drafts, and they didn't have to give up anything for it. How much of a factor do you think the Brees history here, they passed on Brees because of the medical, how much of a factor do you think that was last night?
It had to be playing in their minds. We talked about it. It has to be. If he's a left-handed Drew Brees with his size, similar to Drew, you know, he is so precise and accurate, just like Drew. He's a great kid, just like Drew. And you're going to pass on this again and let history repeat itself. Greeny, I give him a lot of credit. They didn't let anybody really know what they were doing because I'm sure they were afraid of somebody jumping up like the Chargers to get too ahead of them. So they played it kind of low-key, let Herbert's name float out there, let Jordan Love float out there. They might not even take, you know, a quarterback at five might circle back and take one at 18. So I think organizationally they get a heck of a job. And think about the AFC East, Greeny. Your Jets, you got Sam Darnold. Buffalo's got Josh Allen. Miami with Tua. New England's going to have to figure out now, without Tom Brady, the quarterback situation. So it's kind of changed a little bit in that division with three top guns. Two we already know are really good, and Tua figures to be good if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, we'll see if Jared Stidham winds up being the choice in New England or if they address that maybe as this draft goes on, or there could be some free agency one way or the other. As far as playing, when do you expect, Mel, Tua Tagovailoa to become the starting quarterback for the Dolphins?
I wouldn't play him this year. I said it all along. I would medically redshirt him. I would let his body fully heal. Great. It's encouraging. We love seeing what we did before the draft. You know, the videos he was sending out, all that movement coming back from the hip. I'm not putting him out there. This line, like I say, Austin Jackson at left tackle, Greeny, is not ready. He couldn't handle A.J. Epenesa and Bradley and I, two defensive ends that haven't even been drafted yet. you don't want to put him out there in that position. You got to develop your left tackle, okay, coach him up because he's got a lot of talent, and let Tua get ready. That's Patrick Mahomes did. And Patrick Mahomes wasn't hurt. He redshirted his first year. You would be crazy if you're Miami and you put Tua out there this season. If we do have a season, hopefully we will. I would not play Tua one snap this year in a regular season game.
Wow, really interesting. All right, Mel, it was wonderful to watch last night. We look forward to seeing you tonight and
thanks,
tomorrow.
Randy.
Have a great rest of the weekend. That's Mel Kiper. Let me bring my crew in here. And we just heard that. Laura, I'm coming right to you again. You've been around Tua from the beginning of this. He just said they're crazy if they play Tua at all this year. What do you think of that, and what do you think he would think of that?
Look, here's the thing. The way to look at this logically is to not play Tua this year, right? You've got to give him the time to make sure he's fully healed. The next time he gets hit, it will be by an NFL defender, which is, you know, just the fact of the matter. But knowing just how Tua is going to want to look at this, he's not going to want to sit out that long. It's not his choice. And look, we get it. Every player wants to play. The Miami Dolphins are going to have to be very careful about this. But one thing that I think is important, and you heard Mel mention it there, one of the major things that Tua needs to work on, Nick Saban said this last night, Tua has said it himself, he's got to learn to throw the ball away. He's got to learn to protect himself a little bit better. All of his injuries, the ones that were most severe, the lower body injuries, happened as a result of not throwing the ball away in time. And what I would say to that is that the only way to really do that, and the only way to really work on that, is doing it in game, right? And you know, guys who have played this game would be able to know that a little bit better. So I'm interested in Rex and RC's take on that. But my thought is you've got to actually play him to really see that come to fruition. And that's one of the major things they're going to work on here.
Well, let's ask the coach here, Rex. If you're the coach of the Dolphins, what's your plan for Tua starting right now?
Well, I think right now you've got the redshirt deal makes perfect sense to me. When you look at it, you got to protect the player against himself. We know how competitive Tua is, how tough he is. But, man, you got to be smart. Your team's not ready for Tua yet. Man, you got to build the inside of that offensive line. Take a tip from the New Orleans Saints. Who did they draft? Oh, a center. Why? Because you got to be strong in the paint when you have a pocket passer, especially a small pocket passer. Right now, this team's not built that way. They bring Austin Jackson, and I get it, developing tackle. Great. You better get center and guard, and now you get this guy ready to go. You got draft capital coming up. Man, let's build the inside, that offensive line inside out. And when you do, next year, if he's redshirt, he comes back. Now you got a chance to hit on this guy for years. If not, if you throw him out there too early and this kid gets hurt, shame on you.
RC, what do you think?
I think the same thing. I don't necessarily know if you come into the season thinking that it's a redshirt season, but Ryan Fitzpatrick absolutely starts. I said it last year that no matter who they drafted, Ryan Fitzpatrick should still be on this team, and that makes even more sense with Tua Tagovailoa injury history. So for me, he needs to play Fitzpatrick needs to start the season as the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. You see how the season is going. You see how the offensive line is developing. And you work Tua Tagovailoa as much as you possibly can in practice. But you do not throw him out there until you know that he's ready. Here first, that's both understanding how to play and also being confident and make sure your team is ready around him.
I guess in a lot of ways, last night was really just the first of many decisions Miami has to make regarding Tua going forward. We're just getting rolling in this hour here. Still to come, Aaron Rodgers wakes up this morning with a much hazier future in Green Bay. How long until he's no longer the Packers' starting quarterback? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We are back on Get Up, and in case you missed it, last night the Packers made the biggest shock of the first round of the NFL draft, trading up to take Utah State quarterback Jordan Love, who is now the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers. They took him at number 26. Here was Love with Susie Culver last night.
Hey, I mean, I didn't know what to expect coming into this, so, you know, I'm super excited. Had some good talks with coaching staff here at Green Bay, so I'm excited.
So what do you think you can learn from Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I'm already knowing I can learn a lot from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's one of the GOATs right there in the game. And you know, I'm excited to be able to come back behind him and just learn as much as I can.
Rob Domofsky covers the Packers for us, joins us this morning. Rob, what can you tell us about this decision?
Well, Greeny, I feel like I'm back in 2005. I remember the day after the Packers picked Aaron Rodgers, I did the show Cold Pizza. Remember that show?
Of course.
Now, I had more hair on my head then and less on my face, but I remember talking exactly about what the Packers were thinking when they had Brett Favre. Now, here we are in 2020, and it's come full circle. And here's the thinking at this point, Greeny. They know Rodgers wants to play till he's 40. They know he's got four more years on his contract, but they don't know when the next time they're going to get a chance at the quarterback they really like. And that's why Brian Gutekunst, the general manager who pulled this decision off, said last night, "I had to weigh the long term with the short term." The thing about taking a quarterback in the first round, remember, is they get that option for a fifth year on the rookie contract. So even if Rodgers plays, let's say, three more years, they'd still have 2 years of Jordan Love. Now, the flip side is, maybe doesn't Rodgers want to play more than 3 years? He has said several times, in fact, on ESPN Milwaukee Radio last month, he said, "Look, I'm under contract for 4 years. If I keep playing well, maybe I'd even do one more." Well, now what happens with that? The interesting thing here is, what is the reaction of Rodgers going to be? Because remember, he was on the other side of this, and Favre, at least initially, did not treat him all that well, did not welcome him. Now he's in the other spot. Jordan Love, as you heard with Susie, thinks he's going to be, you know, mentored by Rodgers. Let's see how Rodgers reacts when he gets here.
It's 15 years to the day. Rob Domofsky, thank you very much. I think the hair looks good as it is. We will check in with you again. It's going to be a very interesting little stretch here in Green Bay. Let me get more perspective. David Pollack is with us. He was all over ABC's coverage of the draft last night, and Dominique is with us here as well. David, what was, for those who were, did not see it, what was your reaction the moment you heard this, that the Love goes to the Packers, and you said...
Wow. That's what I said on TV, Green. I was like, wow. Cause you think about it, man. You've been watching the Packers for years, and last year they were 13-3. They were in the playoffs. They were in the hunt, and you watch this team and you're like, hey, if they got another weapon, outside with Davante Adams, maybe this is a team that can get over the hump and can be that team that, you know, gets in the Super Bowl. But nah, you're going a different direction. And I was a part of that 2005 draft, by the way. I was picked a few picks before Aaron Rodgers, and it was all about his slide and then him going in and developing. And Jordan Love, obviously, you know, he needs a lot of time to develop, but Aaron Rodgers is probably going, I'm on the clock, bro. Like, I'm running out of time. I need all the help I can get. Get me some weapons.
I'm sure that's how he's feeling very quickly, because you cover the college game. Tell us about Jordan Love. How good is he? Can he become Rodgers?
Man, there's a lot of factors that would go into that. He is good, Greeny. He can throw it from all kinds of different compromising positions and make those wild plays. By the way, it's going to be really good for him to watch Aaron Rodgers' tape. Aaron Rodgers is a guy that's been doing that for years. He is built like Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be able to watch his tape and learn from him. He's going to be able to watch his improv skills and learn from him. Now learn from the communication. So I think he can be successful. This is the only way, Greeny, he's going to be successful. He's not a guy that needs to play year one, year two. He is a guy that needs to sit for at least a year, at least 2 years, grow, develop. And now this is perfect, because it's a guy in front of him. He's watching reps that's literally going to learn, because he's the same style of quarterback.
Okay, so that does seem like it makes some sense. But, Neek, what's your biggest concern in this?
Well, my concern is some people are trying to pitch this as they are planning for their future and they are playing for now, because maybe they can get a receiver or a playmaker later. But there's something called opportunity cost, and that's what they expended when they went and got Love. They could have tried to replace Brian Bulaga, their tackle. They could have done a lot of things. They could have tried to replace Martinez, the linebacker. They could have done a lot of things that made this team better and gave this team a better chance to win a Super Bowl now, considering they were 13-3 and a game away from the Super Bowl. So I understand the decision that they made, and I understand that Aaron Rodgers is getting older. He's not going to be there for much longer, but it's tough to win a Super Bowl. And when you are knocking on the doorstep, it's hard for me to understand how you justify taking somebody number one overall that is not going to walk out there and help you you get closer, as long as you have a team that is very close, because they made commitments last year in free agency and in the draft that suggested they were making a run for it. And this decision, to me, it's kind of a head scratcher. I understand why they would do it, but it doesn't make sense when you're this, when you're on the doorstep of winning a championship.
I'm on your side. David, let me ask you about Tua. Mel Kiper just a few moments ago said here, they'd be crazy, Miami, if they play him at all this season. Would you redshirt Tua Tagovailoa if you're the Dolphins?
This ain't college. So red shirts are not, to me, it's not really that. I don't think about it like an option like that. Now listen, because of what's going on in our world, it's going to be harder for Tua anyways to be plugged into what the Dolphins do and to be really on top of the playbook and to really earn the trust of his teammates, because it's a different year and he's not going to have that time. So I get that thinking. I get that philosophy and I understand it, but I also think that reps are valuable and I don't think it has to be early in the season. Prince Fitzpatrick's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. He can learn from him early in the season, but I also think that reps, you know, down the stretch would be valuable. So I'm not along with the red shirt. I am a beginning of the season, but I think towards the end of the season, if he could get some valuable experience, I think it would be a good thing.
Now, David, I just have a second with you left here. So let me ask you, what was one other move that jumped off the page at you last night, good or bad?
I mean, how about the Dallas Cowboys? Like, the Kansas City Chiefs kind of showed us, like, who cares about, you know, defense? We're just going to go outscore you. And the Cowboys are like, we're on board. Like, CeeDee Lamb's on the board. I think he's the best wide receiver in the draft. He falls all the way down to them. And they have so many needs defensively. They need a corner. They need a safety. They need X, Y, and Z. Nah, bro. We're just going to go outscore you. We're going to do what the Kansas City Chiefs have done for years. So I was impressed that the Cowboys are like, yeah, you know what? They won a Super Bowl that way. Let's give it a whirl.
David, thanks for getting up and doing this, my man. I really appreciate it very much. Thank you. And you bring us to the wide receivers. Let's run the hurry up on some of the first round receivers last night. And Rex, I'll start with you. Were you surprised Henry Ruggs was the first one off the board?
No, I wasn't, and I certainly wasn't surprised that Henry Ruggs III went to the Raiders. Al Davis may not be with us anymore, but you know what? The Raiders are still the Raiders. Speed kills, that's their philosophy, and they've seen it firsthand with Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs, how impossible it is to cover him. So this is a great pick for the Raiders, and it's no surprise that they took him.
Dan, how about the Broncos taking Jerry Jeudy?
Yeah, I can't believe he fell to the Broncos. This is one of the best route runners that we've seen come into the NFL in a couple years. And now you're adding him to an offense for Drew Lock with Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton and Noah Fant and Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay. And so you've got this really elite route runner that reminds me of Chad Ochocinco for this young quarterback and Drew Lock to continue his progression and really take a step forward. This is an outstanding draft pick for the Denver Broncos.
Nick, let's go back to what David just mentioned. What do you think of CeeDee Lamb to Dallas?
Oh, I love CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. He's going to be a problem in a slot. He's not a guy that's going to run past a lot of players, but it doesn't matter. If you get the ball in his hand, he's going to stiff arm you to the ground and possibly take you to the crib. This offense is going to be so scary. I know they lost Travis Frederick, their center, but other than that, they have weapons from Barwin to Amari Cooper to Gallup, and they still have Zeke in the backfield and a young quarterback in Dak Prescott who's gotten better every year. They were a top passing offense last year. They're going to continue to be that.
And then, Dan, how about the Eagles taking Jalen Reagor?
I really like this pick, Greeny. I saw this kid live 2 years ago when I did a TCU game. He was the best player on the field. The Eagles needed vertical speed. He clocked at 4.4. He plays at 4.3. He's only 5'11", but he goes above the rim to go make some contested catches downfield. Reminds me a lot of like a Santonio Holmes type of player, a Percy Harvin type of player. This was a really important pick for the Philadelphia Eagles that they needed to hit on, and I really believe that they did because of his speed.
Well, six receivers wind up going in round one, and so right now you look at what Philly and Dallas do, and they are in a dead heat as far as Vegas is concerned. Both have over under win totals for this upcoming season at 9.5. You see, Washington and New York are well behind both of those. So, Dan, let's talk about it, because I had a sneak preview of what you said on Twitter last night. What happened to the balance of power in the NFC East last night, in your opinion?
Well, going into the draft, I favored the Eagles because of what's kind of happened this offseason. And then after the Cowboys took CeeDee Lamb, the Cowboys kind of took control in favorites of the NFC East. CeeDee Lamb is such a dynamic piece to that offense now, with Amari on the outside and Michael Gallup on the outside and Blake Jarwin working the middle of the field as a tight end. Now CeeDee Lamb is going to be such a violent threat for that offense. And this offense will score 30-plus points a game, or you're going to be around there. I mean, Dak Prescott is going to have a fantastic season with that offensive line. But let me be very clear. The Eagles getting Jalen Reagor is a big deal. And so while the Cowboys took the slight favorite for me after the CeeDee Lamb pick, the Eagles definitely evened it off with the Jalen Reagor pick. And I would say that as I sit here right now on April 24th morning, because of the uniqueness of the offseason and the familiarity that the Eagles have, and with the speed in the addition of Jalen Reagor, I'm going to favor the Eagles. I'm going to throw a little twist here. I'm going to still favor the Eagles because of that speed addition.
How about you, Dominique?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was going to pick the Eagles, too. I'm just shocked that last night Dan disagrees with this morning Dan. That was a quick turnaround. I think the Eagles are a more talented squad. They addressed some of their issues on defense, and their biggest problem was having a deep threat, and Jalen Reagor is going to do that.
I love it. Listen, you could emerge from a locked room yourself in the midst of an argument. Rex, let me ask you this. If you're looking at the situation right now, the Cowboys are in a contract standoff with Dak Prescott. And last night, they go out and they draft a receiver in the first round. Could you have handed the quarterback any more leverage than they did last night?
No, but I could say this. If you're Dak Prescott, go sign that contract quick, because these guys, having Gallup, Amari Cooper, and now CeeDee Lamb. Hey, by the way, CeeDee Lamb won't be the third option by the end of the year. He'll be the first option. This guy's Devontae Adams, and Mike McCarthy's got to see that in him. Great at the top of the route, run after the catch guy. Man, it's exciting. And to me, I don't know how you're going to stop this Dallas Cowboy offense. I really don't.
Assuming that Dak Prescott is, of course, on the field. Dan, what exactly is it that happened between last night and this morning that made you change your mind?
Well, I don't know what Nick is talking about. I said, listen, when the Cowboys drafted CeeDee Lamb, I was like, man, that's the team to beat in the NFC East. And then the Eagles made the pick that I thought they needed to make. I wanted it to be Ruggs, but he obviously wasn't there. And so them getting Jalen Reagor and the speed that is needed, I think he's going to be a really good player. So they jumped back
nothing
in front.
Nothing wrong with changing your mind.
That way last night, Nick, go to bed.
It's a sign of a very intelligent person.
Dak
you get
Prescott
some new information, you change your mind. I like it.
Dak Prescott should not sign his contract.
I think you're smart when you put on those glasses.
Dak Prescott should not sign his contract.
I think your guy Carson Wentz called
Shut up.
Had a little word with you there, Orlovsky. That's what I think happened. All right, we will take a short break. Coming up, there is no bigger fan of Aaron Rodgers in this world than Stephen A. Smith. How is Stephen A. feeling on the morning after the clock started ticking on that bad man? You'll find out live next. Get Up on ESPN. Look at Dan. Look at him.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We are back on Get Up. And, of course, the big story of the night last night in round one of the NFL draft. Late in the night with the 26th pick, the Packers trade up and take Jordan Love, who now figures to be the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, known far and wide by all fans of Stephen A. Smith as the bad man who's been quarterbacking the Packers a long time. And this was Stephen A.'s immediate reaction. What the hell, Packers? I understand the draft is just getting started and that Jay Love has some talent, but how about prioritizing help for my man Aaron Rodgers? WTH, damn. Stephen A. and Marcus are with us here. Steve is getting set for First Take, which is just a few minutes away. Steve, the first thing I thought of was you when they made this pick last night. What is your reaction? We see the tweet there, but let's expand. What's your reaction to what the Packers did last night?
Just utter disgust. Just utter disgust because I'm sick and tired of what they've been doing here. In the Aaron Rodgers era, if correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they've drafted a tight end in the first round. I don't think they've drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Religiously, year after year after year, this dude is devoid of the help that he deserves. We understand that Jordan Love can play and that you have an obligation to look towards the future. I understand that. But there is such a thing as prioritizing taking care of the people that are taking care of you now. Not at the expense of the future, but you could do something in good faith to show that Aaron Rodgers, that bad man, because he is a bad brother, to sit up there and just ignore his needs for the immediate moment is really what disgusts me. Last time I checked, the Green Bay Packers was just in the NFC Championship game. Last time I checked, even though Valdez-Scantling and others can play, Devontae Adams is really the only guy that you have out on the perimeter, and Aaron Rodgers could use some help. You could use some help in the running game. You could use some help at the tight end spot. You could use some help in getting additional wide receivers. This dude, Aaron Rodgers, Marcus, had a bad year. Guess what that bad year is for Aaron Rodgers? 4,000 yards passing, 26 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. The man hasn't thrown double digits in interceptions since 2011. Think about that for a second here. I just told y'all a couple of days ago, the defensive player of the year should be the former quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Jameis Winston, who threw 30 interceptions. And we got a guy in Aaron Rodgers that hasn't touched 10 interceptions since in a season since 2011. This dude, it's a bad year when he passes for 4,000 yards and just throws 4 interceptions, and you do virtually nothing to help him. Not to say that you're not going to. I understand the draft is still ongoing. I'm just saying it sends a bad message when you got a brother this bad with multiple years left on his deal, and your priority is to get his successor. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm ticked off. I really am.
What do you think, Swaggo?
Cry me a river. First of all, your personal affinity for Aaron Rodgers got you all in your feelings right now. Look, people got to draft quarterbacks so they have a succession plan. They drafted Jimmy Garoppolo years ago, ended up trading him, and ended up being a good move for New England and San Francisco because they got compensation.
How was it a good move for New England?
I can't believe that you are so emotional. It was a good move for New England because if the trade wouldn't have happened for Jimmy Garoppolo, they would have a backup. Stephen A., what have we been talking about with the New England Patriots for the last 3 weeks? Is Jarrett Stidham the guy? So if Green Bay thinks that Jordan Love can turn into a quarterback that could take them beyond the Aaron Rodgers years, why wouldn't you draft him now?
There is nothing they're risking. I apologize, Marcus Spears, Pastor Spears. I'm sorry. I didn't know Matt LaFleur and Gutekunst were Bill Belichick. My bad. I'm confused. I didn't know that Green Bay won 6 Super Bowls. I didn't know that Green Bay's been to 9 Super Bowls in that particular era. I'm sorry. I recall Matt LaFleur becoming the head coach of the Green Bay Packers when he was the offensive coordinator of the 27th ranked offense, and he still got the damn head coach job. Why he take the job? Because he had Aaron Rodgers. That's why. Go ahead.
Can I talk?
Go ahead, man.
Can I talk? All right, let me talk. I appreciate it. All of this stuff that you crying and whining about, and previously you just said they went to the NFC Championship. You can count that up to Aaron Rodgers, but he obviously had some damn help to get there. Green Bay obviously put and brought guys in defensively to help this guy. Stephen A., they made it to the NFC Championship. What, like, in what year is that a bad year? Get him some help. Obviously, they had enough help to get to almost the Super Bowl.
Are you listening to me?
I am listening. Say what you said again. Because I hear you.
He don't play defense. Help the brother out.
I hear you crying about the Green Bay Packers not having help for Aaron Rodgers, but they only went to the NFC. They had some help.
Well, first of all, let's not engage embellishment. I'm not crying. Usually when I'm crying, it's because I'm laughing at your damn Cowboys. So let's be accurate about that. That's number one.
This ain't got
number
nothing to do
two,
with the Cowboys.
They did buffer themselves up. They buffered themselves up defensively. Aaron Rodgers, last time I checked, doesn't play defense. He plays offense. The brother needs some help. He's your best player. He's a stud. He's a bad man. You treat that brother with some respect and get him some help first. You prioritize him because his shoulders are what carried you to the damn NFC championship game. Help the brother out. You can't understand that? You're a football player. You turn your back on him.
I hear you, and you're hollering, don't bother me. You prioritize your organization. If you feel like Aaron Rodgers needs help, you get the help that he's going to need in further picks in the draft.
Right.
With that being said, let me ask you a question. Yeah. How many teams went to the NFC championship last year?
Two. I'll answer it. And they're in my ear. There's nothing funnier right now.
Who was one of them?
They've been rapping me for the last 4 minutes.
And I've done
as best I could to ignore it completely. I love you both. You're the best. Stephen A. is 6 minutes away.
Be quiet.
This argument will most likely continue on cell phones between now and then they'll start their show. And then First Take will come along, and they'll have all of the analysis of what was a wild night in round one of the NFL draft. That follows us on Get Up here on ESPN. Our coverage of the NFL draft continues tonight on ESPN, ABC, and the NFL Network with second and third round action. Then 7 Eastern, you'll see it all live also on ESPN Deportes, the ESPN app, and you can listen on ESPN Radio. Meanwhile, here's how our morning began. Now, should we explain to our audience what the Packers' plans for Aaron Rodgers are going forward?
Well, we got dogs in the background barking here, Greeny. I apologize about that. Hold on. Hey, can you please shut my door? This is unbelievable. This is the way of the world right now. What are we going to do?
There were the culprits, Bailey and Ella. I'm told Bailey was the barker, and all went well in the Schefter household. I want to thank my entire crew for getting up here this morning on the morning after an extraordinary night in sports in so many different ways. I want to thank you for getting up with us. I can't tell you what a privilege it is to be the person who gets to sit here the morning after the NFL draft and tell you all about it. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.